Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point, which will be a testimony of God's grace. And I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest is Reva Timms. She's the author of a new book called When It All Comes Together. The subtitle says, How God Can Redeem Your Brokenness for His Glory. And Reva is involved as a church leader at Majestic Life Church in Orlando. And Reva, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Sure. And go ahead and tell us what happened. I know this involves some deep pain and so forth, but you're willing to write about it in the book and share it publicly to help people who are struggling and hurting.
But my first book was When It All Falls Apart, and that dealt with me having to go through infidelity in my marriage. My husband and I, we started a church in Orlando, Florida in 1996, and we started with no one. You know, it's just a new startup. We had two babies, and the church really grew to over 8,000 members.
Whoa.
Yeah, and so it was during that time that it really hit the explosive growth for a season that our marriage hit infidelity on his part. And for 2 years, you know, trying to work the marriage, trying to make it work, and it didn't. And that was the beginning of everything falling apart. And I talked about in the first book how to become better, not bitter, and how to walk in forgiveness. And so that dealt with the first 3 years of a seven-year journey. Later in life, my ex-husband at the time, he ended up passing away suddenly.
Ooh.
And that was even more devastating.
How old was he?
He was 45, I believe. Because it was in he died in 2011.
Was this from a drug overdose?
That's what the report came back.
Mm. So almost like a type of suicide.
I don't know. I couldn't say that, honestly,
okay.
Because we had just gone on a trip as a family, his mom and the kids and I, even though we were not together, but he just didn't seem like it would be a suicide. So I don't know.
Hmm.
I couldn't tell you. And again, you know, we had been, I was separated for 2 years from him and then divorced for 2 years from him. So it was 4 years that we were not together. So I didn't know, you know, his friends, I didn't know who was around him or anything like that, but I couldn't tell you. But it was devastating for my family, my children, for the church world especially as well. And it was a lot of grief through that, a lot of questions asking why, you know, what's going on.
What would you say to somebody listening who's had, you know, even a one-tenth of the kind of experience you're talking about? Their husband has cheated on them, or their wife has cheated on them, or... You know.
I would really encourage them that there is hope. God knows your ending from your beginning. And oftentimes we don't see how to get to the destination. We don't know all the pieces that are involved to get us to the destination that we're going to, but God does know. And what I love about the Lord is He'll take everything and work it for your good.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, even the bad things in life, He can take it and work it for your good. And I do remember that. I remember being at a point when I was divorced. I lost everything. I had to rebuild my life from nothing. And I say nothing. I mean, I went to network marketing. But it was even in that God blessed. And I saw that whatever you put your hands to, He will prosper when you walk in humility and when you walk in forgiveness. And God did. He showed up on every turn. And so even in the broken place, the hurt place, He did get glory out of it. And so I would encourage people to know, don't let your circumstances define you, but let God define you.
Mm. I once knew this old man that was just always sharing Jesus Christ and always had this big smile and even went to prison 6 days a week to share the love of Christ. And he used to always say this. He said, look to others and be distressed. Look to self and be depressed. Mm. Look to Jesus and be blessed.
Yes. That's it.
Yep, exactly. Okay, so you're describing some of the things you must have talked about in that first book, When It All Falls Apart. Now, is there anything else to say about everything falling apart before we transition into When It All Comes Together? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what was the catalyst for this new book? I can't hear you.
It talks about prolonged seasons of going through battles, because when everything fell apart, you know, I finally got my wind back. I finally got my rhythm back and the things of God and just really doing well. And then it was when my ex-husband passed, there were so much so much more that took place as far as estates, as far as the kids, as far as the church that we both co-founded, because I had started another church when everything fell apart. And so I wasn't at the church that we had started, so who was going to put that together? So it was just so much more, and it took 4 more years. And sometimes you can go through prolonged seasons of difficult things and challenges, and my book really talks about that, how to endure that. And I talk about Job. My first chapter talks about Job being puzzled. You know, he was a man that was considered perfect. He was a man that was considered upright before the Lord, yet he found himself in dire situations. And I give practical applications through the book to explain that there are times in life where your life looks a mess. It just looks like a big jigsaw puzzle just thrown on the floor, and we can't see it, the picture of what it is to be. But God always gives us a glimpse. He gives us a glimpse of what our future is going to look like. And sometimes it's hard to focus on that because you're looking at your circumstance. And so I talk about that. How do we walk through that and still being able to see what God told us? And there was a great late Miles Monroe. He said something that always stuck with me. He said, if what you see right now is not what you saw, then what you see is only temporary. In other words, if what you see in the mess, it's not what God showed you, then what you see is only temporary. And if we can have that kind of peace to know that this too will pass, it's a season, then we can make it to the picture that God intended for us to have.
So give us an example of an aha moment in your own life in dealing with this. I mean, for example, did you discover your husband's body, or, you know, how did that happen?
No. Okay. He was out of town. Okay. I didn't know. Yeah, he was out of town. I didn't discover. But a ha-ha moment for me was even starting over, starting a ministry. I didn't believe in single female pastors, honestly. And when the Lord called me to it, he spoke to me. He said, your purpose was never wrapped up in a person. Your purpose was wrapped up in me. And so for me, it was a place of fear, but I trusted while trembling, you know. So I stepped out, and the Lord told us, don't grow the church, grow the sheep. And so we were in a little parking lot on the backside of a strip mall, and within a short period of time, we had over 500 people.
Wow.
He said, if you have entertainment bringing people to the church, it's going to take entertainment to keep them, but if you let my spirit draw them, then my spirit will keep them. So we didn't really do advertisement, but the Holy Spirit did bring them. And so at that point, I felt God's favor, and that was the aha moment for me. And then shortly after that, he said, it's time to move, and we ended up moving to a 2,000-seat auditorium building with two buildings on the property, 15 acres. And honestly, we didn't have the money for it, but it was by faith. And we got the building, and we ended up paying less at the new building than we did at the first building. That was God's favor. It was God restoring. It was an aha moment for me. In the sense, he was redeeming my brokenness, and only he could get the glory. There were no big contributors. I didn't have a husband. You know, it was the foolish things truly confounding the wise.
Wow. And tell us about your children. There must be children involved in all this, right?
Yes, I have four very special children. My oldest is now, she's in grad school. She's 22. I have a 21-year-old. He's my special needs son. And I talk about that in the book as well. When you have dreaded pieces of the puzzles, things that you never thought would happen in your life. And my son, he was born with cerebral palsy, but he's the love of my life, of course. And then I have a 18-year-old who's first year of college, and I have a 17-year-old who's a senior now. And so we just, you know.
And how are they doing in light of all the tragedy your family's endured?
They are doing very well now. It was a process, you know, but I can tell you they've never acted out. They've never given me one day of problems. Again, I believe that was God protecting them. They do have trigger moments at times, just from, you know, sometimes you just need your dad. You know, you need your father. And so, and also the church. In many ways, the church had turned their back on them, in a sense, the local church, I should say. And so they came through that. And so they're all still loving the Lord. They're all, you know, in church and things like that, and they have a relationship with the Lord. But they are doing well. Thanks for asking.
Wow, that's really amazing. Now, if you don't mind my asking, in the relationship you had with Zachary, it sounded like at first it was a very good and positive relationship. Looking back, what do you think could have been done to try and prevent the adultery?
I would tell anyone who gets to a level of success, accountability is always necessary. There is really safety in the moment.
I'm missing part of what you're saying. There's safety?
safety in a multitude of counsel. It's mm-hmm. so important that we keep accountability really at the forefront. You know, whatever you did to get success is what you have to keep doing to keep it. So I think that was one of the things that slipped as far as accountability measures for him, like probably for traveling or just covering-wise. I think that would have been, that was necessary.
Mm-hmm. So if a younger woman, let's say, came to you and said, okay, I'm thinking about getting married, but I don't want my husband to cheat on me, what would you say that could help prevent that kind of thing from happening, well, Lord willing?
It takes both. It takes both parties, and both parties should have a relationship, of course, with the Lord. You don't want to ever cheat on your spouse, but remember, it's a threefold cord. So you're not just cheating on your spouse, you're cheating on God. You're cheating mm-hmm. on covenant. And so both parties have to understand covenant. But I would offer to tell her that marriage is first. Beyond the ministry, God chooses family first. God first, family, and then the ministry.
Did I understand you to say that you, after the adultery and came the forgiveness after he repented, he did repent, right?
Yes.
Okay, and there was forgiveness. Was there reconciliation, but then later divorce, or how did that work?
No, honestly, he finally repented, but not around the time when we were trying to reconcile.
Oh.
Yeah, but he did finally repent.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I don't know about you, but I'm sick of this mentality that I'm finding among some, well, we could call evangelifish or whatever, you know, where it's like God forgives you no matter what. No, you know, God is holy, and, you know, if you do something wrong, repent, and, you know, and I'm not sinless, no question about it. And David sinned and so forth, but he did repent, and he, you know, said he was sorry, and he wrote two beautiful psalms out of the whole experience. Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. They're beautiful psalms of broken repentance.
Absolutely. Repentance is very necessary. And people must understand that when it's a relationship between a husband and wife, they must know that the spouse will know if the cheating spouse has repented or not. They will definitely know for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have the book in front of you?
Yes, I do.
When It All Comes Together. All right. Why don't you turn to page 39, and we can close with this. You could read from The Hiding Place author Corrie ten Boom. She quotes this beautiful poem, and I think this is something we can end on, because it's just sort of, in some ways, it summarizes the whole message of the book.
Yes.
The tapestry of life.
Yes. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colors. He weaveth steadily. Oftentimes he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why.
Go on. Next page. The dark threads are as needful.
The dark
threads. Okay, close to the phone.
The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him.
Oh, thank you so much. The author is Reva Tim. She's been our guest for this segment. The name of her book is When It All Comes Together. You can get more information at her website at majesticlifechurch.com, based in Orlando. Thank you so much,
thank you,
Reva, for being with us. God bless you.
God bless you, and thanks again.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.